off the play action. Allen hit as he throws, able to complete it. Diggs, and taillights time. Diggs is looking back, touchdown, and he stumbles into the end zone. It's a 50-yard pass play from Josh Allen for the Buffalo Bills.
One of four touchdown passes for Allen on Monday night as the Bills cruise to a 38-9 win over the Patriots in Monday Night Football last night. Again, we're in on the sports ticket. Dusty Donis with you on Katie Country 94 on this Tuesday, December 29th. It's 9-11 on the sports ticket on Katie Country 94 and katiecountry94.com. We thank everybody for listening today. I think I speak on behalf of all NFL football fans, I guess maybe except for Patriots fans, when I say thank you to the Buffalo Bills for dethroning the New England Patriots atop the AFC East. Buffalo had already clinched the division. We're going to tell you much more about that game, some records and some notes about the Patriots, because this is a guaranteed losing season for the Patriots, and we'll tell you more about that and when the last time that happened was here on the Sports Ticket. We'll get a lot to get to. It's not a really, really busy time right now, but still some things going on in the sporting world. College hoops will return tonight. We'll talk about that, and also college bowl games. A couple Big 12 teams are on the docket today. The Washington football team has released a quarterback, and also the San Diego Padres in baseball finding some pitchers to add to their rotation after making the playoffs for the first time since 2006. They're looking to stay right there toward the top and into contention here in 2021 for the playoff hunt. And we'll tell you about what the Padres have done over the last couple of days as far as acquiring some pitchers that, if you follow baseball really at all, you probably will know the names of these guys that the Padres are looking to acquire. Not official yet, but we'll tell you about that more momentarily. Again, we'll start with college hoops as K-State is set to return to the floor tonight. K-State 4-5, Omaha is 2-7, the opponent for the Wildcats here this evening. K-State has won three of their last four after starting the season at 1-4. Omaha is a team that, again, is 2-7. Their last win came on December 5th at SIU Edwardsville, 65-63. It's a team that does not have a lot of talent, but they're a deliberate team, it sounds like, and can play in the post. We'll hear from Bruce Weber here momentarily. Omaha did play Kansas back on December 11th. KU won that game in Lawrence 95-50. So there's an opponent that's obviously familiar there that Omaha has seen already here this evening. So again, it's Omaha and K-State here tonight at Bramlage Coliseum in Manhattan. So we'll keep an eye on how all that goes for K-State. Again, as they hope to get back on the winning track. Again, they last played on December 21st, where they won 70-46 over Jacksonville. Here's K-State coach Bruce Weber on taking on Omaha here tonight in another non-conference game.
A lot of versatile parts, play a lot of guys. Their big guy, you know, was defensive player of the year in that league. Pyle, the young man from Wichita, he's very, very physical. You know, use a kind of old school, use a lot of up and unders and get you in the post with seals, knows how to play. You know, I think it's important, the games that I've watched, you know, that if we can have a great start and get them in a little bit of a panicked pace, it would be to our advantage.
It'll give you an idea of what K-State basketball looks like this year. And we don't talk about lines a whole lot in college basketball because it can go so many different ways, but obviously, there's going to be a pretty high line in a non-con game typically like this. Again, I told you a little bit ago that Omaha lost by 45 at Kansas earlier this year. K-State's only a 10.5-point favorite at home tonight against Omaha. So that kind of tells you a little bit about what K-State's got going and how they've been playing this year. Again, 4-5, Omaha 2-7. It's a 7 o'clock tip-off tonight from Bramlage Coliseum in Manhattan for the Wildcats and the Mavericks. So a non-con game there for K-State. And after this, they will break until Saturday, where they will take on TCU in Manhattan at 1 o'clock. That's their second, or actually their third Big 12 game of the season coming up there on Saturday, January 2nd. That'll be the next time Kansas plays. They have off until the 2nd against Texas, where that'll be a Big 12 contest coming up there on Saturday for the Jayhawks. They're number 3. Texas is up to number 8 now in the newest rankings this week. It's 11 o'clock tip-off coming up on Saturday between KU and Texas. By the way, we will be joined tomorrow by Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, on the Sports Ticket to preview that Texas matchup, top KU Sports. And that'll be on the Sports Ticket coming up tomorrow around 9:30 on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. So basically a full Big 12 slate coming up on Saturday. So again, some teams are playing a little bit ahead of that. Other Big 12 games that are going on today. Ninth-ranked West Virginia is hosting Northeastern at 1 o'clock this afternoon, so an early game there. Another afternoon game as well. Number 2, Baylor, who's 6-0, taking on 1-6 Central Arkansas at 3 o'clock this afternoon at the Ferrell Center in Waco. And then at 6 o'clock tonight, 13th-ranked Texas Tech takes on Incarnate Word. And then Texas, who, as we said, is slated to take on Kansas, coming up on Saturday at 11 a.m. And by the way, fans can hear that game. Pregame coverage beginning at 10:30 on Z96 Point Through the Lake. Texas was scheduled the 7-1 Longhorns to play 3-6 Texas A&M Corpus Christi tonight. That game has been canceled due to some COVID concerns. So no Texas here tonight. And I don't have that. I should have looked that up, that data right in front of me, whether that's a Texas issue or a Corpus Christi issue. I'll see if I can find that as I'm talking here. Again, Texas and Corpus Christi have been canceled here for tonight. So Texas won't play until Sunday or Saturday as well. So they were supposed to have a game before they played Kansas on Saturday. Issues, by the way, are with the Corpus Christi program. So the KU game should be on as a go coming up on Saturday, as long as nothing else would pop up during the week, which is never a guarantee at all. And all you need to do to realize that is talk to Wichita State. Shockers were scheduled to play East Carolina coming up tomorrow night. That game has been postponed due to COVID-19 cases at East Carolina and the ensuing contact tracing for the student athletes there. The WSU-ECU game will be rescheduled at the first opportunity when both teams are available prior to February 21st, which is the date of the second scheduled game between the Pirates and Shockers in Greenville, North Carolina. Should an opportunity not arise before February 21st, the teams will play back-to-back days, Sunday and Monday, February 21st and 22nd, and those games would be in Wichita. So that is the plan should they not find a suitable date between now and February 21st. Kind of a bummer for East Carolina, I would say. I mean, I wonder how they determine who gets to host that Sunday-Monday doubleheader on back-to-back days if that happens. I'm sure it's somewhere in the bylaws or whatever they decided to do here with COVID protocols this season, but interesting to say the least. Again, I would be a little frustrated maybe if I was East Carolina to where, hey, why do I have to travel to play two games in Wichita? Why aren't they not coming to Greenville, North Carolina, where they're scheduled to play in Greenville, North Carolina on February 21st? So maybe they feel like Wichita State doesn't get their home game. They were supposed to be at home first, and so they host both. Interesting scenario there, and obviously I think East Carolina's probably hoping, hey, let's get this game in at Wichita before then so we don't lose a home game coming up toward the end of the regular season there in Greenville, North Carolina. So again, Wichita State, that went bye-bye yesterday. Their matchup, it was postponed, and in a scramble, they decided to fill the vacancy in their schedule for tomorrow night with crosstown Division II opponent Newman. They'll play at 6 o'clock on Tuesday night. Shockers clearly are hoping there's not a repeat of what happened with K-State when they tried to fill in a vacancy. They were supposed to play Milwaukee back on December 8th in Manhattan, and Milwaukee had some issues. They had to push back their game, so K-State's like, well, we want to play. And I'm sure you all remember that that's when they scheduled Fort Hays State and took a loss to the Tigers. They didn't just take a loss. They took a butt-whooping, basically. And Bruce Weber said that, you know, and obviously an embarrassing game there. So that happened on December 8th. You hope if you're Wichita State, you're a little bit more, you know, in the flow of your season and what you're attempting to do, because, boy, what kind of bragging rights would that be if Newman could go over to Charles Koch Arena across town, just hit up Kellogg and get on 135 and head north to Charles Koch Arena to 21st Street and go beat the Shockers in their building. That'd be a heck of a thing to hang your hat on if you're the Newman Jets. But probably not expecting to see that, but that is the case coming up tomorrow night at 6 o'clock again. Wichita State is hosting Newman at Charles Koch Arena. Good news for the Shocker men's basketball team. Tyson Etienne was named the AAC, American Athletic Conference Player of the Week. 25 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 10 of 12 from the free throw line in their overtime win at USF on December 22nd. Etienne now is averaging 17 points a game and shooting 85% from the free throw line this season for the Shockers. Again, Tyson Etienne, the American Athletic Conference Player of the Week for his performance against USF on December 22nd. Other scores of note from last night's action. There's not a lot of games around college hoops on Monday night, but Gonzaga did play, the number one team in the country. They won 88-58 over Northern Arizona. Gonzaga now 8-0. Northern Arizona fell to 1-6. Kind of an interesting situation here where Gonzaga is right back at it tonight. The top-ranked Bulldogs hosting Dixie State at 8 o'clock in Spokane this evening. So look at what's going on there for Gonzaga. Again, back-to-back games for them. Also in the Big Ten, some, I don't know if you call them upsets last night or not. One you might. Maryland is now 1-2 in the Big Ten. Picked up their first Big Ten victory. They went on the road at number 6, Wisconsin, and won 70-64. Maryland now 6-3 overall. Wisconsin 8-2, 2-1 in the Big Ten. And Michigan State, Tom Izzo's group, ranked number 17 in the country right now. But I don't know how, find it hard to believe they'll be ranked at all next week, even if they're even right. I don't even know if they fell out of the rankings this week, to be completely honest with you. I would have to look that all up. They were ranked number 17 through yesterday, and they lost to number 21 Minnesota at Minnesota 81-56. Minnesota led 36-16 at halftime. The Golden Gophers are now 9-1, 2-1 of the Big Ten, and Michigan State has started the Big Ten season 0-3 after a 6-0 non-con slate so far in 2020. So Michigan State going the wrong direction currently in the Big Ten again at 0-3. Kentucky off to a really bad start this year as well. You know, some of these teams that, I don't know, if some coaches are probably going to blame the pandemic. You know, I probably wouldn't be one of those people that would do that, but I guess it is what it is. You can blame it on that if you want to. Michigan State, by the way, in the latest polls, they're number 17. Yeah, that actually just came out yesterday, so they had been number 17 there in the AP poll and 18 in the coaches' poll. Kansas is number 3 in the AP, 4 in the coaches. Villanova is ahead of them in the coaches' poll. Gonzaga and Baylor are 1-2. Gonzaga clear-cut number 1 right now by both polls. 62 of the 64 first-place votes in the AP top 25 and 29 of the 32 in the coaches' poll. Gonzaga number 1, Baylor number 2, both teams undefeated here this season. So, again, Michigan State 0-3 now in Big Ten hoops action after losing 81-56 at Minnesota last night. Some other top 25 games are going on. We told you the Big 12 schedule for today. Also at 5 o'clock, Miami at number 24, Virginia Tech. Purdue at number 14, Rutgers at 6 o'clock, 18th ranked, Florida State at Clemson tonight at 6. Also number 5, Houston at Tulsa at 8 o'clock, the American Athletic Conference tonight. And a big matchup in Iowa tonight, 19th-ranked Northwestern against number 10, Iowa. Northwestern, I know one of their players. He actually played with my nephew for a couple of years down in Newton, Ty Berry from Newton, playing for number 19, Northwestern. And the Wildcats are looking pretty good this year. Iowa 7-2, 1-1 of the Big Ten. Northwestern's 3-0 in Big Ten play. It should be an interesting game tonight at 8 o'clock, Northwestern at Iowa. Games that are postponed tonight, we told you about Texas A&M, Texas, and also Pittsburgh at number 20, Duke, has been postponed as well. So again, Duke kind of in the middle of their pause of activities during the COVID-19 pandemic as well. So that's a look at the schedule for men's hoops today. The Kansas women play at noon today against New Mexico State, and we'll give you an update on that hopefully on our 5 o'clock sportscast here this evening. All right, college football, we'll shift to that now as bowl games are picking back up and a couple Big 12 teams are in action here today. The Cheez-It Bowl, number 21, Oklahoma State is 7-3, taking on 18th-ranked Miami, who's 8-2 in Orlando, Camping World Stadium here today. Oklahoma State, a one-point favorite in the Cheez-It Bowl against Miami. Should be an interesting game there. I don't know how to handicap a lot of these games because you just don't know. Obviously, one who'll be playing with COVID concerns all over in different places. You know, there have been so many bowl games that have already been postponed or canceled and just not being played. So It's hard to predict who will win these bowl games. So, you know, just for fun, I'll say Oklahoma State gets the win over Miami, and they're just a one-point favorite. So, clearly, a pick 'em, basically, is what Vegas is saying about that game there in Orlando, the Cheez-It Bowl today. Also, in the Big 12, Texas, they'll take on former Big 12 foe Colorado. Texas is 6-3, number 20-ranked team in the country, and Colorado 4-1 in the Alamo Bowl tonight. It is Texas and Colorado at 8 o'clock, as Texas is a 7.5-point favorite at last check over Colorado. That went from 7 to 7.5 here during the morning, because I had 7 on my preview here, and it's now 7.5. So money must be going toward Texas at this point in time to cover that spread. Again, Texas against Colorado, 8 o'clock in the Alamo Bowl and the Alamo Dome in San Antonio here tonight. Those games, by the way, if you want to watch them, both on ESPN in 4:30 this afternoon for the Cheez-It Bowl, Oklahoma State and Miami, and then 8 o'clock tonight for Texas and Colorado. The Pinstripe Bowl was supposed to take place tonight, but that was one of them that was canceled before the bowl matchups even came out. So that will not be taking place here today. Of note, coming up on Wednesday, the Cotton Bowl, as 6th-ranked Oklahoma at 8-2 takes on number 7 Florida, who's 8-3. A game in Arlington, Oklahoma and Florida. That'll kick off at 7 o'clock on ESPN coming up tomorrow night. Also supposed to be tomorrow in Iowa and Missouri, as we mentioned. Excuse me, yesterday, that game has been canceled due to COVID concerns with Missouri. So no Iowa-Missouri Music City Bowl coming up tomorrow. But again, Oklahoma and Florida should be a good matchup there. Looking forward to actually seeing that one coming up. That's, again, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Arlington at AT&T Stadium. So I'll give you an update on what's going on at college football bowl schedule here for 2020 as we head into 2021. Again, the college football playoff games coming up on New Year's Day, where it'll be Notre Dame against Alabama. Alabama the 1, Notre Dame the 4, 3 o'clock on that'll be Friday for the first college football playoff semifinal. And the other one will be at 7 o'clock Friday, second-ranked Clemson against third-ranked Ohio State in the college football playoff matchups. So let's look at what's going on as far as college football is concerned. We'll obviously have a probably tomorrow or maybe Thursday with Wade Webb more of a preview of those college football playoff games here on the Sports Ticket. All right, as we mentioned last night, Monday Night Football, the Buffalo Bills with a dominant 38-9 win over the Patriots to move to 12-3. Buffalo had already clinched the AFC East title, but the Patriots dropped to 6-9. That guarantees their first losing season since 2000, as I alluded to there at the beginning of the Sports Ticket. And that was Bill Belichick's first season back in 2000. The team went 5-11, and then they won the Super Bowl the next season, and that's what started that long stretch of dominance there in the AFC East for the New England Patriots. But again, the Buffalo Bills are the AFC East champions. They had already clinched that last week, but again, had to feel good for Buffalo to not only win this division, but to get a sweep over the Patriots for the first time since 1999, and also to hand the Patriots their first losing season since 2000. The Patriots, for a long time, I think there were times where they were kind of a laughingstock in the NFL. Obviously, they went to the Super Bowl with Bill Parcells there in what would have been the 95-96 96 season, actually, when that happened. And then 97-98 was when the Broncos won their 2 Super Bowl, or the Packers beat the Patriots there in the 96 season and lost to the Broncos the next year, and then the Broncos beat the Falcons. I'm trying to think of all that in my mind of how that happened. But the Patriots did go to the Super Bowl there. Obviously, they made it in 85 against that, vaunted Bears defense. But the Patriots did not have a lot of good history in football prior to that. And obviously, Bill Belichick gets a lot of credit for that. Tom Brady gets a lot of credit for that, and all the guys that have gone through there. A lot of great defenses early on there in that stretch for the Patriots that they had, and obviously had some talent. Never had really just completely elite-level talent. I don't think that Tom Brady was throwing the ball to, except for Randy Moss. That year they went undefeated and then lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl. But, it was a long stretch of a lot of good football, dominant football for the New England Patriots. You kind of see it tailing a little bit last year when they lost the Titans in the wild card round of the playoffs, and then you know, Tom Brady leaves. You kind of wondering what was going to happen. Cam Newton looked all right here at the beginning of the season for the Patriots there in their first game, and I think a lot of people were thinking, oh, this might not be as bad as we think. And then just all kinds of different things. I know COVID hit the Patriots. They actually had quite a few players that opted out before the season even started. You know, Cam Newton got COVID right before they played the Chiefs, and that game was moved back. And so that changed a little bit of what they were doing there. And obviously Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer playing quarterback at different times this year doesn't help your cause if you're trying to keep your winning record streak alive. But again, for the first time since 2000, the Patriots will have a losing record. They will finish no better than 7-9 here in 2020. So interesting look there at the Patriots as that wrapped up week 16 of the NFL football season on Monday night. The Bills, more on them as Josh Allen, we told you earlier in the sports ticket, threw for four touchdown passes, which gave him the most in Bills franchise history for a single season. He passed Jim Kelly, who threw for 33 touchdowns in 1991. Three of his four touchdown passes on Monday night in a win went to Stephon Diggs. They've obviously throughout the season been a pretty good tandem there for the Buffalo offense. Again, Allen with 34 touchdown passes is now number one in single-season touchdown passing for the Buffalo Bills. The Bills, again, 12-3. The Patriots at 6-9. I'm trying to look to see who the Patriots play next week. Again, last time they had a losing season, they were 5-11. And this right now, the season could either be one or two games better, depending on what happens for the Patriots as they take on the Jets. Now, what kind of way would that be to end the season? You finish 6-10 and then lose to the Jets? The Jets have won two in a row. So we'll see if the Patriots are phoning it in next week since everything's over, because there probably were times it may have looked like that last night. I didn't see the entire game, but left something to be desired, obviously, for the Patriots losing 38-9 and giving up some big plays and four touchdown passes, three to Stephon Diggs. So what are the Patriots, you know, what are they playing for next week? They are at home and probably playing to not get embarrassed by the Jets. So that's at noon coming up on Sunday for the Jets and Patriots. So the Chiefs, again, have already wrapped up the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. Not much changed last night other than the fact that the Bills held on to the number two spot with that win. You kind of look at it, again, the Chiefs are number one seed. They've locked that up at 14-1. They're taking on the 6-9 Chargers coming up on Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium. Pregame 2 o'clock kickoff, 3:25 between the Chiefs and Chargers in that AFC West showdown. But, again, the big thing there last night for the Bills was holding on to that number two seed. Now, you say the Bills have the number two seed at 12-3. The Steelers are right behind them at number three at 12-3. The Bills do have a tiebreaker over the Steelers. It's going to be a very interesting finish to the season. We kind of touched upon this yesterday a little bit, but you know, you really look at this. You got teams in a lot of these games that are going on, and especially the four that I'm going to mention here, and really five actually that are key games in the NFL coming up on Sunday. And so you're thinking, well, the Bills have the number two seed, but they don't have it wrapped up yet because they still need to make sure that they win. Now, if they win, that number two seed is officially wrapped up. Now, the Bills can also have a loss and a Steelers loss and still win, or not win, but get that second seed. What the Bills cannot do is lose and have the Steelers win coming up on Sunday. The Bills are hosting the Dolphins, who need a win to keep themselves right there in the playoff hunt. They're 10-5. They're after the Steelers, there are now five other teams that have 10-5 records. The Titans and Colts are both 10-5, and they're both in the same division. So however that would play out, the Titans have the tiebreak right now in the AFC South, the 10-5 record. The Colts are actually in that eighth spot on the outside looking in. And again, the Dolphins, they're looking for a win, taking on the Bills. The Bills need a win just to make sure they're secure in the number two spot and they don't have to think about it. The Browns need a win, and that's who the Steelers are playing on Sunday at noon. So the Steelers need that victory if they want to have any chance at that number two seed. The reason that number two seed is important is you can get down there, and as the playoffs move on, if you end up playing the three seed there in that divisional round of the playoffs, you can have that game at home. So all these teams will be playing at home to start the playoffs either way, the Bills and Steelers for sure. And then whoever would win that between the Titans And Colts, as far as the AFC South, will be at home for a wild card game coming up on at some point next weekend as well. So these games are very important coming up in the NFL this weekend with, again, Dolphins at Bills. Ravens at Bengals is important. The Ravens are right now in the sixth spot at 10-5. The Browns are in the seventh spot, 10-5. They host the Steelers at noon on Sunday as well. And then, obviously, the other game that will hold importance, or the other two games, Jaguars at Colts. Jaguars, by the way, won in season one, or week one over the Colts. They're only one of the season. And then coming up later on Sunday as well at 3:25 will be the Titans and Texans. So the Titans looking for a win at Houston. Colts looking for a win against the Jaguars. Colts need a win and a Titans loss to win the division. And they need some help from some of those teams that are ahead of them to lose as well in the final week of the season to be able to get a wild card spot if you're the Colts. NFC playoff picture, we talked about that yesterday as well. It's not overly clear right now. As to the playoffs, there are chances for a few different teams still to get that number one seed in the Packers, Saints, or Seahawks at this point in time. So Washington football team currently is the fourth spot leading the NFC East, and the Cowboys are still alive at 6-9, basically tied for first, but Washington had a tiebreak win over Dallas earlier this season to put themselves in that number four spot, which would be the worst record in the NFC, but again, as a division champion, they get that fourth seed and would host a first-round playoff game. Possibly a 6-10 team or a 7-9 team hosting a first-round playoff. Speaking of the Washington football team, some bad news for Dwayne Haskins of the Washington football team, but I don't feel at all sorry for the guy. He kind of put himself in this situation. Dwayne Haskins officially released by the Washington football team on Monday, a day after he was benched in the loss to the Panthers on Sunday. The release also occurs 1 week after a maskless Haskins was photographed at his girlfriend's birthday party with some, we'll call them, adult dancers. Hours after a loss to Seattle, Washington fined Haskins $40,000 for a second breach of COVID-19 protocols and took away his captaincy. Earlier in the season, Haskins was fined for making a reservation for a family friend at the team motel the night before a game in New York. There was a sense that perhaps playing in his hometown did not help Haskins, providing too many distractions there for him. Again, he was fined a little over $4,000 that first time. Again, the second breach of COVID-19 protocols. And obviously, the way he's playing right now does not help him keep his job at this point in time. So, tough go of it there for the Washington football team and having to deal with that, with Haskins breaking those COVID protocols twice. Listen, you're a professional football player, and this is your job, right? So your job tells you that you can't do these things. You need to be following protocols. You need to be doing the right things. You need to be wearing a mask. And no matter what you believe from that aspect and maybe your personal beliefs, you might not like what this football team and this league is telling you to do from that aspect. The bottom line is you are employed by the Washington football team in the NFL. And if they have these protocols, you probably should follow them, or you're going to be in some trouble, not only financially on a hit. This is more than this $40,000 fine for the second breach of COVID protocols. It's over half of his weekly paycheck with the Washington football team. And so not only have you now given that up, but you've also given up your paycheck because you broke protocols. You have not been performing either, obviously. We'll get to that momentarily. But obviously, if a team, a league has these protocols set, they're there for a reason. Like I said, you, me, anybody out there can disagree with maybe some of the protocols. Bottom line is they are in place. And if you do not follow those protocols, it is not going to end well for you. And again, especially when you're not producing. Dwayne Haskins obviously has to go down as a bust for the Washington football team. It was a first-round pick, I believe the 15th overall pick in the draft, and obviously did not produce, didn't do what they hoped and expected. You know, I've seen some discussion out there. Is he in the discussion as one of the biggest busts or the biggest bust ever in the draft? And that's not the case. I mean, there's Ryan Leaf is up there, obviously, toward the top of that. DeMarcus Russell was a number one pick and just never did anything for the Raiders there. And so clearly, is he a bust? No doubt Dwayne Haskins is a bust. But when it's all said and done, he's not even close to the biggest bust ever that we've seen in the NFL. But, boy, that's not the way to go out for Dwayne Haskins with the Washington football team. So, as I said, Haskins has not been producing either. As we look at some of his numbers, as he played in parts of two seasons here with the Redskins and never really produced anything of what a guy where he was picked, where you would want him to, or what you would want him to produce if you're the Washington football team. So obviously there were some issues from that train of thought as well. I'm trying to find all of his info, and usually it shows right where he was drafted. But I'm pretty sure, he was the 15th pick in the draft whenever he actually came to the Washington football team. So that would have been ahead of the 2019 season. So again, Haskins, just 2 years there. Washington was hoping that he would be, you know, one of those players that could hit for him at quarterback, because they obviously had the injury to Alex Smith and weren't able to, find what they really needed there. He was the 15th pick in the 2019 draft. And so, you kind of look at it, you're hoping when you use that pick on a first round and on a quarterback that he can produce for you. He did not. 15 games over two seasons, a total quarterback rating QBR of 29.4. The league average, is 63.5. And he threw for 12 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, 7 games and 6 starts this season. He had 1,439 yards, 5 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and a 30.7 QBR. So his QBR was a little bit better this season than the average on his career. It was a little 27-something last year on the QBR in his first season. So, yeah, it was 28.4 last year. Not effective, not efficient, doing the wrong things, not doing any of the right things at all. Dwayne Haskins, see you later. It's the way it's going to go. If you don't follow the rules and the protocols, now if Patrick Mahomes did this, first of all, he wouldn't do it. Let's just put that out there. Clearly, you can see the differences of what he's doing compared to even some other people that might not be following all the protocols that the NFL is trying to make you do. But just a hypothetical, if Patrick Mahomes did this, probably not going to get released. Probably going to get a stiff fine. Can't afford that stiff fine with the contract that he got. But that's what I'm saying is, like, you cannot be a below average player and making all these mistakes and still be able to play in the NFL if you're breaking COVID protocols and you're not performing. Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington football team, said, quote, "I told him that I believe it benefits both parties that we go our separate ways. We want to thank Dwayne for his contributions these last two seasons. We wish him well moving forward." Coach speak, obviously taking the higher road there and saying what he wants to say. And then Haskins said in a tweet, quote, "I take full responsibility for not meeting the standards of an NFL quarterback and will become a better man and player because of this experience." Well, I hope so, because if you don't, you're not going to be playing in the NFL again. And Dwayne Haskins right now is a backup to third string player, depending on where he goes. No team is going to take a chance on him as a starter if he can't follow the rules, if he can't do the things that they're asking him to do. So Dwayne Haskins, again, released by the Washington football team. Not sure. Alex Smith's been out with an injury here. Not sure if he'll be able to go coming up this week. Not a good situation if he isn't, as Haskins was released and put behind, demoted behind Taylor Heinicke, who's a practice squad player. Yikes. Heinicke will get the start if Alex Smith cannot go this weekend for the Washington football team against Philadelphia. And again, Washington can win the NFC East with a victory this weekend. That's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out there in Washington in the NFL. So it's either the Washington football team or maybe the Cowboys. The Giants still have a very outside shot at winning that NFC East crown, so we'll keep an eye on that as well. Finally, on the sports ticket here today, the San Diego Padres. They're working hard. They made the playoffs for the first time since 2006 here this past season. They've built a team around the likes of Eric Hosmer and Manny Machado and a lot of younger guys as well. Fernando Tatis and Will Myers plays there as well, former Royals prospect. Just some of the names that the Padres have and some of the things that they've been able to do have been pretty impressive over the last year, albeit in a shortened season. Again, they did make the postseason last year. But this year they're trying to bolster their rotation, and boy, they've done a nice job in the offseason here picking up two, well, not officially yet, but it sounds like these will go through a couple important cogs and pieces that'll be pitchers in the starting rotation if things go the right way. Padres, Yu Darvish expected to be traded to San Diego the day after it was announced that the Padres were set to acquire Blake Snell from the Tampa Bay Rays. Darvish had an NL best 8 wins in 2020. He was 8-3 with a 2.01 ERA and 12 starts. Finished second in Cy Young voting in the NL just behind Trevor Bauer of the Reds. And he has a 3.47 career ERA and 71 wins in 8 seasons with the Rangers, Dodgers, and Cubs. He's in the middle of a 6-year, $126 million deal signed before the 2018 season with the Cubs. So they are taking on quite a contract there, San Diego is. The Padres are expected to get Victor Caratini, who is Darvish's personal catcher last season with the Cubs. So obviously that helps out with the communication and everything they can do from that aspect as well. Right-handed pitcher Zach Davies and four prospects are expected to go to Chicago in that trade. We told you yesterday on our sportscast that Blake Snell coming to the Padres from the Rays for four prospects. Snell won a Cy Young in 2018. He went 21-5, 1.89 ERA. This past season he was 4-2 with a 3.24 ERA and 11 starts in the shortened 2020 season. Neither trade again has been officially announced, but are expected to go through. Snell and Darvish would be added to a rotation that includes Dinelson Lamet, who is 3-1, 2.09 ERA and 12 starts in 2020, so had a good shortened season here. And Chris Paddock is the fourth in that rotation. They'll find a fifth as well. Paddock went 4-5 with a 4.73 ERA and 12 starts in 2020 for the Padres. So, again, the Padres making moves, bolstering their rotation with Yu Darvish and Blake Snell. Kudos to the Padres. We'll see if that hurts them down the line, getting rid of some of their top prospects in those deals. But kind of like we've seen from the Royals, very briefly at a time, it's a win-now aspect and a win-now mentality for the Padres as they look to get over that hump and not only get to the playoffs but contend for a championship there in San Diego. And again, a good start here in the offseason, getting Yu Darvish and Blake Snell to add to their pitching rotation. All right, I think that we covered pretty much everything we want to cover here on the Sports Ticket on Katy Country 94. Like I said, not a whole lot going on right now, with a little bit of a break of what's going on here in sports right now with the Christmas holiday, New Year, and everything like that. Pick back up locally coming up in January, so stay tuned for all that. For the latest in local sports, you can always check out ncksports.com. And again, hopefully coming up in January, we'll be able to get back out on the wrestling mats and basketball courts and continue on with the winter sports season there as well. But again, this week, the last couple weeks, pretty slow. And again, the dead period goes to the moratorium goes through the 3rd of January. No practices at all are going on right now. Normal years by now, they could be back in the gym, but not in 2020. And they won't be back in again until January 4th, 2021, as far as practices are concerned. Games will start back up likely on the 8th of January for our area teams. So that's what's going on in local sports. That's why we don't have much to talk about here locally. Big thanks to everybody for tuning in to the Sports Ticket today. Again, be safe out there with the slick roads and the freezing rain that's going on here in the area. Be safe. Have a great day. And we will talk to you again tomorrow on the Sports Ticket here on Katy Country 94.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.